Well, good morning. It's good to be with you and being able to open God's Word. So I've been thinking about all this time that most of us have spent sheltering in place. I think it's really highlighted for me what the reality of my life is, or what is true about my life. Like what my habits are, what my real character is. Before all of this started, some of the time my family can be pretty busy with a lot of activity. With four boys at home, it can be busy even when we're not busy. But usually there's hockey, there's choir, there's Bible studies, there's kids club, and it just seems like we've got a lot going on. But with all of that, or most of that, stripped away, it really exposed to me what the truth was. And so there's a few passages I'd like for us to consider this morning, just some things I've been thinking about. I don't really know how long this is going to take me, so maybe it won't take too long. I hesitate to say that, but we'll see how it goes. The first is in Psalm 119, a great psalm, focusing mainly on the Word of God, His precepts, His law, Word, and anyway, just Psalm 119 and verse 73 says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." And, some people have thought about that as you fashioned me, your hands have made me, like the potter's hand. But it's also been suggested that the language here would point to the fact that he has established me. He has constituted me. So yes, he has made me, he's fashioned my body, but he's also made me who I am. And so there's this acknowledgement, this wonderful praise that, God, you've made me who I am. My personality, everything about me that makes me me, minus the effects of the fall. Your hands have made me and have fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And so, when we think about the revelation of God, He's given us His Word. He communicated it in language. And so there is definitely the aspect that we need to use our minds to read His Word, to understand what He wants us to know. So there is an intellectual aspect of it. But there's also an understanding that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so the psalmist would ask here, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So there's an acknowledgement that God's word is important, that it's worthy of seeking out, it's worthy of trying to understand, but then he asks God, Give me understanding, right? So we need Him to give us His thoughts. We have His Word, but we need His help to understand it. And it's worth searching out. It's worth finding out. Colossians chapter 2. just a few verses here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted up, built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And he goes on in verse 9 to say, for in him, that's Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Paul's prayer was that the believers would be encouraged. Says that he was in great conflict. I think that was in great conflict of prayer for them. But he wanted them to be encouraged. And when we look around at this world, at the things that are going on, there's a lot that can discourage us. But Paul's prayer for these believers was that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. He's worth seeking. He's worth finding out. And that's really the only way we will be encouraged. Any real encouragement at any real deep level. Not being able to meet together. That could be a source of discouragement. And for me, personally, it's just been a reminder. It's forced me to see, again, how important it is for us to gather together, just to be together, to grow together, to be encouraged together. It's important. And so I look forward to the day in great anticipation that we can gather together again. And what that process looks like, no one really knows yet. It may be a slow progression, right, of some of us gathering, and then eventually everyone who is able to come would be able to. But we leave that in the Lord's hands. But I'm looking forward to it. In verse 3, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that of Christ. He is it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in verse 9, we're told that you are complete in him. And so when we think about what is worthy of our pursuit, what is worthy of our time, what is worth our attention, right? It's him. It's his word. We are complete in him. So the more that we understand about him, the more that we understand who we are in him, the more fuller picture that we have of who we are in Him. First Chronicles. There's a passage there I'd like to look at. First Chronicles chapter 16. And this is when the ark was brought back. It was put in the tabernacle. This was the ceremonial place that God dwelt with His people. It was a place of worship, and things had not been right, and they were making it right. Right, they were bringing the ark back. They're placing it in the tabernacle. And there was great celebration. There was a real sense of, yes, things are being put the way that they should be. Let's worship the Lord. And they offered burnt offerings. They offered peace offerings before God. And David's blessing the people. He's giving them food. And it is just, I'm sure, quite the scene. And they are playing music. They're in stringed instruments and harps and cymbals and trumpets blowing. And they are just celebrating. Almost how I think, at least how I feel now, what I would want to do when we can gather together. Is there anything extra special about this building? No, it's a nice building, but this is where we gather together. It's not any more holy than your homes, but there is a sense in which some of our worship happens here. Not all of it, of course. We worship Him every day with our lives, but we do come together as His people. We sing songs to Him. We greet one another and encourage one another and worship Him in this way. We build one another up. It's special. It's important. And I feel like when we're able to gather together again, it would not be inappropriate for us to blow trumpets, to hear cymbals crashing and many instruments being played, and just celebrating. That's what stirs up in my heart when I think about it. And so David has this song of thanksgiving. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord," in verse 8, "call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples." It's interesting. Part of their worship, part of their celebration is this encouragement to give testimony to the things that God has done. Now, for us in this age, the same thing is true. But we're not necessarily pointing back to God delivering us out of bondage, out of Egypt, but we can certainly point back to God delivering us out of the bondage of sin. And how has He done that? Through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And the peoples, the world, the community around us, they can be set free as well. He says, "Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of His wondrous works, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. We need to do that. We need to seek the Lord. That's one of the things that has just kind of been on repeat in my mind. Seeking the Lord. I was reminded of that with the North American Week of Prayer. Let us seek the Lord together. And it's what we've been doing at our prayer meeting, our virtual prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. is seeking the Lord together, right? Bearing one another's burden, but anticipating Him doing something in our lives. We need to seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore, always, evermore in the future, knowing I need to be constantly seeking His face. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Goes on to say, in verse 23, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. Now, if you have been watching the news at all, there's great conflict. And I know there's nothing new under the sun. There have been times in my lifetime where there's been great conflict. And it just seems as though today we have that. We have great conflict. And what does the world need? Right? They need to be set free from the bondage of sin. They need to know the good news of the salvation of the Lord. And we have the privilege to be able to declare His glory among the nations. How about to our neighbors? I was thinking, there's some 14 million people in Ontario. It's probably higher than that now. 153,000 of those, maybe more, live in Barrie. I saw a statistic that said, I think 40% of those people claim no religious affiliation. 40%. We have the privilege of declaring His glory to these people. Before all this started, when there were times when life was really busy, the hockey and the choir and the Bible studies and the kids club and whatever else we were doing, it's easy to get caught up in that. It's easy to lose sight of one, seeking the Lord, seeking His strength, and two, declaring His glory to the nations, speaking of His salvation for people, how they can be set free from bondage. I believe the Lord's telling me that I need to seek Him more, that I need to be seeking His strength so that I'm not trying to do life on my own strength and my own wisdom. I need to seek Him, and I need to be praying for ways in which I can declare His glory. I can speak of His salvation. I've been convicted as well, or at least thinking about three different areas. I think it's important for us to build a culture. Not necessarily a culture just for this is the way we do things, but it's good for us to have good practices, good habits, if you want to call them that. Right? So those three areas, the first one is building that culture in your personal life. Some of us are just as busy now as we were before all this started. Many of us have a little bit of extra time on our hands. What are we doing with that? Are we seeking the Lord? We need to be. It is what he desires of us. Right? We've looked at before at how all along from Adam and Eve in the garden and tracing that right on through till today, that God is seeking those people whose hearts are truly his, seeking worshipers, seeking people who would be in intimate relationship with him. It's what he has wanted. It's what he has worked towards. And all of recorded history, we see that. We see that with Adam and Eve. We see it with Abraham. We see it with the nation of Israel. We see it with the priesthood. We see it with the church. Are you seeking him? We need to seek him. Seek the Lord and his strength. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. I may understand your word. I recognize it as you are life. And in this I learn of you. And in you I'm complete. That's what I need. We need to seek him. So in our personal life, how about in our home? Right? In our families. Is it the practice in your home to seek him? I've got to tell you, for us, we needed to make a change. We did. Before the past couple months happened, my children, they heard from Beth, they heard from myself, they heard from other adults in the chapel through Awana and Sunday School, and now, to a large extent, those things have been put on pause, and I need to make a change. There was a need for us to seek the Lord together in, I'll just say, a more concerted way. We're very blessed at Northside to have the Sunday school that we do and the Awana program. And Beth and I are both involved in those things, and it's allowed us to serve the Lord, but also to minister to our children at the same time. So anyway, we've made some changes in our home, and I love it. I love it. And so creating this culture, changing our practices, I hope will continue on. So in our personal life, in our home, what about in our church? I don't know how much you've been thinking about Northside during this time. We haven't been able to get together, but I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think that we have an opportunity now to prepare for when we can physically meet together again. Now, yes, right now, we should be looking for ways in which we can encourage one another. We can do things. We can pick up the phone. We can send a card. We can email. We can cut grass. We can do things for one another. Brother was at my house this morning doing that very thing. So we can do it. It is being done. And praise God for that. But as we look forward to the day, the days coming in which we can gather together, we should be sensing now how important it is for us to gather together. Sensing the importance of one another. Do you sense that? Do you miss the people of God, being with the people of God? I surely do. I surely sense the importance of you saints. We miss you dearly. And it's causing me to think, what are we going to do when we can gather together again? Let's look for ways in which we can seek Him together and serve one another. It's almost like we get to hit a reset button. We have been, through no choice of our own, we've been forced to push pause on all of the things that we were doing as a church family. And when we get to gather together again, we get to start new practices. We get to establish new patterns of seeking the Lord, new patterns of serving one another. I find it very exciting. But I also know that when you start something new, at least it's true for me, when I start something new, it's usually a struggle. Yes, for a short time it might be nice and go well, but after the newness wears off of it, you need some stickability to the plan, right? So starting something new usually will be a struggle. It might feel forced or awkward. And I'm not talking about, I don't know what pops into your mind when you hear starting something new. I'm just talking about, in what ways can we love one another? In what ways can we seek the Lord together, perhaps in a new way? You know, when we talk about sharing the gospel, the message never changes, right? Mankind has a problem. It's sin, the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ is the answer, right? He came, He died on the cross, He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins. The message never changes, but sometimes our methods do, right? Sometimes we stand in a park with a paintboard. Sometimes we pass out literature, booklets that tell people the message. Sometimes it's a conversation over a fence with your neighbor. Methods can change. And so when we gather back together, perhaps even before then, in what way can you help me and can I help you seek the Lord that maybe we haven't done before? In what ways can I serve you that maybe I haven't done before? And in what ways can we declare His glory, that we can speak of His salvation, perhaps in a way we've never done before? Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Our days are numbered. That should highlight our need to seek Him. It should highlight the reality that we are complete in Him, and we shouldn't be distracted by the things of this world. I hope these thoughts have been encouraging to you. It's not my intention to make anyone feel bad this morning, but let's be in prayer for one another. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's tell of His glory. Let's start new practices in our personal life, at home, and in our church family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask for Your help. We are people who have many weaknesses. And we are people who once walked in darkness. But we are so thankful that we've been brought close to you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's people who have not yet come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we would just ask that you would continue to speak to their hearts, have mercy on them, that they would seek you while you may be found. And Lord, we are in need of you to do a great work in our hearts. We recognize that you made us, you fashioned us, you made us who we are, and we need your understanding. So help us. Help us to look into your word. Help us to seek your face. Help us to love one another. We just pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.